Thank you, team. And we are continuing on in our series on good housekeeping. And so I just want to remind you of a couple of things before I begin. Now, it's the week of camp, so please remember tonight there's no mix at 6, no Wednesday night ministry, and next Sunday we have one morning combined service for the next 2 weeks at 10:30. Good housekeeping, and as I've said, last week we talked kind of about the house of the Lord, the place where we come and worship. But this morning I would like to address your attention to your own heart. I would like to have you address your attention to your life as one who follows after God. And I want to talk to you about the fact that you are a vessel of honor. If you have the NLT, would you turn to 2 Timothy? If you don't have an NLT, would you please take the Blue Pew Bible that's right in front of you and turn in that Blue Pew Bible to page 915, please. So let's everybody grab that Blue Pew Bible, turn to page 915, and in a moment we're going to read together in this letter that Paul is writing to his young preaching protege, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's stand together, please. And I'd like you to read with me out loud, just like we would be singing a song together. Let's read this scripture together. We're going to begin reading at chapter 2, verse 20, and read down to verse 24. All right, let's read it out loud together, please. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we're found in this place. Lord, we give you praise that we are vessels of honor. And I just pray, Father, that as we look into your word today, that you would elevate that in our hearts and in our minds for the glory of Jesus. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Please be seated. You can follow along on your bulletin insert. And I want you to just really let God, because later we're going to be celebrating communion, what the Lord Jesus did for us. I want you to let God refresh in your heart that you are a vessel of honor. That word honor means esteem paid to. It means worth. Now, that word worth actually is the word that is in the word meaning of worship. God is worthy, and worship, that comes from worth. To esteem something, to pay worth to reverence or to bring veneration. As we saw when John, when he was on the Lord's Day, when he was in the Spirit, when he was worshiping this living Christ, he had this wonderful revelation of Jesus. And there it says this, "You are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." You are a vessel of honor as a child of God. God has placed a high priority on your life, and there's four things I'd like you to consider about your life this morning. First of all, we are honored to be purchased. We are honored to be purchased. In wealthy homes, some utensils are made of gold and silver. This one is silver. And some are made of wood and clay. Now, does anybody know what this is? What this thing is? I heard somebody, it's a soup bowl. Everybody say soup bowl. How many of you have a soup bowl that you serve soup in? We have one. There's a few. But I'll tell you, none of you have a soup bowl like this soup bowl. This soup bowl belonged to the French king, Louis the 15th. And this soup bowl was designed by the artisan Thomas Germain. And this soup bowl went at auction at Sotheby's in New York in 1994 for the price of $10 million. A $10 million soup bowl. Do you know what that is? Stupid. Somebody paid $10 million for a soup bowl. I guess that must have been a wealthy person. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. $10 million for a soup bowl. But you are a vessel of honor. And you're worth just way more, way, way more than $10 million. And your life? Our lives are used to serve God's highest purposes. Our lives are used to serve God's best purposes. You remember Jesus, don't you? You remember him at that Last Supper when he came into the upper room where they were all gathered. You remembered, of course, he was the one that stooped down. He was the one that took the place of the servant. He was the one that poured the water in the basin. And yes, Jesus Christ, the servant, washed everyone's feet, including the feet of Judas Iscariot. You're honored, friends, to be purchased. And your life is used to serve God's highest purposes. You see, the expensive utensils, and that's what you are. As a Christ follower, you're an expensive utensil. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. You know what? You were purchased not just for ordinary things. You were purchased for God's highest purposes. And your life is used for special occasions. The cheap ones, like those $10 million soup bowls, those are just for soup. The cheap ones are used for everyday use. But your life, our lives, are used to serve God's highest purposes. We're honored to be purchased. And like I said a moment ago, your life is worth way, way more than $10 million. Way more. Jesus satisfied your redemption price. That's how much you're worth to God. You want to know how much you're worth to God? Look at the cross. You want to know how much you're worth to God today when you're holding the cup and the bread? You remember the price that he paid so that you could be saved. We're honored to be purchased. You see, you know that God paid a ransom. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not just mere gold or silver. No, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You're honored, friend, to be purchased today. And God has purchased you so you can be used for his highest purpose. And he paid, listen, he paid the highest price. He paid the ultimate price for you. We're honored to be purchased. Secondly, we're honored to be purified. We're honored to be purified. Look at what we read. If you keep yourself pure. Now, the truth is that when we come to Christ, he removes our sins from us. He doesn't just cover our sins. He removes them. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed your transgression. So has he removed our transgressions from us. You see, when God looks at us, he sees no sin because of the blood of Christ. So we're cleansed, we're made whole, we're adopted, we're called the children of God. But even though we're pure, even though we're purified by the blood of Christ, it says, if you keep yourself pure. You see, before we knew Christ, we were living without the Spirit of God in us. We did not have the Spirit. We were not the vessels of honor. We were the cheap vessels, right? But now we're vessels of honor because we've been forgiven. The Spirit of God lives in us. And if you keep yourself pure. Now, all of us need water. If we don't have water, we die. And you know that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that's like living water. That's like pure water that keeps us spiritually growing and that keeps us spiritually healthy. If you keep yourself pure. If water's not pure, you can drink a lot of it and that'll kill you. But if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil. So even though we're forgiven, we need to understand that it's an honor for us to be on this walk of purity. It's an honor for us to be bringing ourselves to the Lord as a special utensil. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. It's an honor for us to be purified. Well, we might ask ourselves the question, and it would be a good question to ask this morning. How can we keep pure? I mean, there's so many temptations in the world. There's the values of the world are so at times opposite to the values of God and the values. How can we keep ourselves pure? Good question. Well, we keep ourselves pure when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. In Romans 12, these verses talk about how that we're able to be purified, how that we're able to be those who are wanting to live a pure life. I plead with you, Paul says, give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is saying, when it comes to your bodies, give them to the Lord because of everything he's done. Let them, your bodies, let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice. There was this early teaching in the church that, you know, the body is evil and spirit was good. So, I mean, you know, Jesus is good and he's in our spirit, but we can do whatever we want with our body. No, no, no. God calls us to sanctify our lives before him and to let our bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, a living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is how we worship him. We worship him by bringing ourselves as a living sacrifice, by saying, Lord, purify my heart. Purify my understanding. Grow me, Lord, inside so that I may walk worthy of the calling that you have placed on my life. That's how we pursue this purity. Secondly, we refuse to be squeezed into the world's mold that buys $10 million soup bowls. Now, we laugh at that. But do you know, friends, that every penny that God gives to you is a gift as his child? Every dollar, $10, $100,000, $100,000 that God, that's a gift that God gives to you. We don't want to be wasting those away on things that the world thinks we should have. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Listen, there are things that the world says that you need. And if you listen to those things that the world says that you need, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to squander God's money. In fact, beyond God's money, you're going to squander your life. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You see, we live in a world that says that this is what's important and this is what matters and this is what is right. If we're going to be those who are going to be keeping ourselves pure, we're not going to allow ourselves to be stamped with that same stamp. We're not going to allow ourselves to be squeezed into that mold that says, this is all that really matters. We refuse to be squeezed into the world's mold. Rather, the way that we stay pure in the calling of God is that we find success in God's plan for our lives. You know, God's plan, as we've said, it's the highest plan. God created you. He made you to achieve his best work. And Paul goes on in Romans and he says, then when you do this, when you offer your bodies, when you're transformed in your mind, when you're renewed, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good. How many of you believe that God's will is good? It is. But God not only has a good will, look, he has a pleasing and a perfect will for your life. I've said this before, but has anybody ever went to IKEA to buy some easy assemble furniture? I'll tell you what. Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like not being a Christian and striving to find God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life? It's like going to IKEA, buying the biggest piece of furniture that needs to be put together and throwing the instructions away and going at it. God has a perfect will for you. God saw you before you were born. God planned out every day and every moment of your life before you came into existence. And this is, I love how the Westminster Shorter Catechism sums up this reality that Paul's talking about in Romans. It says this, the chief end of man, or the most important thing of all, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I'll tell you something, when you find yourself like Paul in this place, in the Lord's house, on the Lord's day, worshiping the Lord, your life's going to be better than if you weren't here. And when that's your joyful duty, I'm telling you the suddenlies are going to happen and you're going to have joy in this world, but in the life to come, you're going to have your great reward. We find success in God's plan for our lives. It's what he created us to do. Third thing about being a vessel of honor is we're honored to pursue holiness. Now, if we're going to pursue something, it means that we're going to leave other things behind. If we're going to go after something, it means that we're going to choose not to go after something else. And so when it comes to pursuing the holiness of God, he goes on to write, run. Would everybody please say, run? That was good. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. And I like this picture. I like this picture of this lady in athletic gear. And she's going somewhere. She's moving toward a target. She's moving toward a goal. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Now, I can't tell you in your life what youthful lusts are, but you know. I don't have to tell you. What are those things that want to take you off track? What are those things that want to distract you? That's what Paul is talking to Timothy here when he says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. So you're leaving those things behind to pursue holiness, to pursue that for which you were created, to pursue that which is your highest purpose, your highest aim, your highest goal. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. This is what we're supposed to go after. I'll just pick up on one of them there, peace. Jesus, you know what he said? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will see God. If you live your life making peace, if you live your life doing what you can to bring people together, if you live your life trying to resolve, you know, the human conflict that happens in relationships, blessed are the peacemakers, they will see God. I have my own translation. This is Doug's translation. This has nothing to do with the Bible. It's this, blessed are the peacemakers, they won't need pacemakers. It's true. Like if you spend your life I'll tell you what, you're going to be healthier in your heart. We're honored to pursue God's holiness. Well, how do we pursue holiness? First of all, we make time for the things that matter the most. And you've done that this morning. It's the Lord's Day. You're in God's house. You're with God's people. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. I have to tell you the truth. I just feel that in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking about our church, this church right here, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, Spa for Life. I'm speaking about, maybe you're visiting us from another church. I'm speaking about the church where you attend. I'm speaking about every church everywhere. You know what I'm amazed about in the Church of Jesus Christ? There are people who call on God with pure hearts. There are people that love God. There are people that sacrifice for God. There are people that give and that strive to make Jesus known to others. And I have to tell you the truth, not as a pastor, just as a Christian, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the Church of Jesus. If you are, would you too say amen? Amen. I mean, it's amazing. I believe this. I believe that some of the best people in the world are in the Church of Jesus Christ. I really do. Because as I see you living and giving and serving and loving, I want to tell you, I'm just motivated. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And you know, someone say, oh, I don't go to church because it's just full of, yeah, hypocrites. But I'll tell you something, the best people in the world are in the church too. So you just need to take a look around and discover how these people are living their lives. And so you've made time to be here. And this matters the most. You know why? Because you're with God's people. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I'm there. Because there are people here and you look up to them, don't you? You look up to them because of how they carry themselves. You look up to them because of what they represent and what they say. You look up to them because of how they spend their lives. And I would encourage you right now, if there's someone that you look up to in this church, if there's someone that kind of pushes you ahead, pushes you forward, drives you on, can you make this your prayer today? Lord, make me more like them. Because you know what you're looking up to in them? You're looking up to Jesus Christ in their lives. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That's how we pursue holiness. You know how else you're hearing from the Word of God today? You're hearing the preaching. You're hearing the truth of God's Word. And God's Word is powerful. And God's Word transforms. And God's Word changes. And He sent His Word and healed them. I mean, you're making time for the things that matter the most. And so you're hearing from God. You're with God's people. You're worshiping Jesus. How else do we pursue holiness? Well, we mature our talents. We mature our talents for the glory of God. Do you know what happened when you gave your life to Christ? When you gave your life to Christ, God gave you a gift. It may have been, He may have given you a number of gifts. When you gave your life to Christ, God gave you a gift. And the reason that He gave you that gift is that you could glorify Him with it, that you could magnify Him with it, that you could make Jesus well known through the gift that God has given to you. And so we make time and we mature our talents, secondly, for the glory of God. Now, there's a number of gift listings in the Bible, but one of them is in Romans, and it's called the motivational. Would everybody please say motivational? So what motivates you? What is it that charges your life? What is it that gets you excited? What is it that God's gifted you with that you can use, and when you use that, you know, I'm doing what I was created to do? Well, here's a listing of some of the gifts that God uses in His body, the motivational gifts. If your gift is serving, serve others. Serve them well. If you're a teacher, if God's given you the ability to look into His Word and to bring truths out of His Word and to share those truths, I'll tell you something. We just look for people who have a God calling for teaching with our children. Right now, there's children's ministry going on for preschool children and children from grades 1 to 6. We look for people that have that gift of teaching and a love for children. In the fall, we're going to start again Sunday Morning Alive. It's an hour every week of inductive Bible study, and we're looking to grow our Sunday Morning Alive program where people come, kids and adults too. And so maybe you've got a gift to teach to young adults, and you'd like to start a young adult class. Listen, if your gift is teaching, teach well, prepare well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. I remember in my first church, I had a person, they came to me, they actually said this, "Pastor Doug, God's given me a gift. I want to share it with you." I said, "Okay." They said, "You know, I just have a gift for pointing out what's wrong in other people's lives." And I looked at them and I said, "That gift is not from God." I mean, that's not a gift from God. The gifts of God are given for the common good. God doesn't give anybody a gift to discourage people. If your gift is encouraging, encourage. If your gift is giving, give generously. Now, we're all called to give. If you believe that, say amen. But some of you, listen, your gift is giving. God's prospered you greatly, and you give, and He gives you more, and you give, and He gives you more. I mean, it's just like, it just He's coming out of your life because this is the gift that God has given to you. Give generously. If you have leadership ability, well, take that responsibility seriously. If you're called to be a leader, do everything that you can to lead. If it's showing kindness to others, do it gladly, if that's your gift. So we mature our talents for the glory of God. Now understand, you're accountable for the gift and the gifts that God has given you. They're not my gifts. They're not the church's gifts. They're God's gifts that He's given you, and He's paid the highest price for you to have them. And so at SPA, we have a prayer that people will use their gifts in this way, that they'll use them in one major or weekly gifting. In other words, they would do something for the glory of God in the life of the church weekly, that they would use their gift in a weekly way. And also they would use their gift in a minor or a seasonal way, maybe greeting at the door. Or it was so neat this week. I know Pastor Jason and Jennifer, they are doing the Kinder Camp Treehouse. That's the pre-ministry for kids at our upcoming camp this week. And it was so neat this week that we had some people in our congregation, they just came in and they were cutting out all of the crafts. You know, a seasonal thing. It might be something like working in the nursery or you know, every 5 or 6 weeks or greeting at the door or being on our welcoming team. Or it might be something like, I don't know, there's just a whole bunch of things seasonal that you can do. Being in the music ministry when they do a big production, that kind of a thing. But our prayer, not only our prayer, it's our job. Our job as pastors is to make sure you're using your gift. If we don't get you using your gifts, we're going to be accountable because God gave you these gifts to use for His greater glory. If you believe that, say amen. That's good preaching, Doug. Praise God. Amen. You're welcome. Thank you very much. You know what else we need to do? Not only our time and our talent, but we multiply our treasure for all of eternity. We multiply our treasure. And I don't know what your treasure is going to be like when you sacrifice. Now we're talking about money. When you sacrifice, like when you don't buy worldly things to invest in the kingdom of heaven. When you lay aside that other pair of shoes or that new car, you know, say, I can get a couple more years out of my car. I'm going to give $5,000 to the work of God. Whatever it is, whatever you say. I can't tell you what your eternal treasure is going to be like, but I can tell you this. It's going to be better than anything you've ever seen down here. It's going to be better than anything your ears have ever heard. The Bible says it's even better than anything your mind can even begin to think of. When you store up eternal treasure in heaven, like I read earlier today, where moth doesn't get it and where thieves don't come in and steal and destroy. So I want to say to you, especially if you're here in our church family, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Hey, how many of you would like to have the Lord of heaven's armies standing with you in life? Is that a nice offer? If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. We multiply our treasure for all of eternity. And you know what God says about the tithe? And I've said this a number of times. When I was first became a Christian and my pastor taught that the tithe is actually, it literally means 10%. And it goes to the general fund of the church that you attend. So if this is your home church, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's not giving, it's actually paying. It is pain at the beginning. Pain, I didn't say pain. Paying. It's paying the tithe. It's giving that 10% of whatever it is that God gives you. And it goes to the general fund. If you're from another church, it goes there to wherever you attend. And I remember the first time I heard my pastor teaching on the tithe, I thought, man, if I do, I'm going to go broke. And it took me a time and a season to learn to trust God with the tithe. God says this to you this morning, if you haven't learned to tithe yet, try it. Put me to the test. Malachi 3:10. And so how do we show ourselves to be honored vessels? How is it that we pursue holiness? Well, we pursue it with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And finally, how do we show ourselves to be vessels of honor? We are honored to display patience. Be patient. Can you say that with me just nice and slow? Just those two words. Ready? Be patient. How many of you love being patient? That's what I thought. Maybe some of you were trying to go down 109th Street this week. And instead of your trip taking 20 minutes, it took an hour and a half. Didn't you love that? Don't you just love it when you make an appointment with somebody and you say, hey, I'll meet you at this place at 4 o'clock. And you had such a busy day, but you didn't want to be late. You got there at 10 to 4, and now it's 4:03. Don't you love it? You're looking out the window of the restaurant, looking for their car. 4:15. And they stroll in at 4:44. And what do you want to say to them? Be patient. We're honored to display patience. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to most people. What does it say? Must be kind to, say it again, and one more time. Be patient. Must be kind to everyone. You could circle that. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Praise God, there are no difficult people that attend this church. I got to tell you the truth, there's very few. There's very few. But if we get a difficult person coming in the door, we want them to come. And all the church said, because you know what happens? When you're patient with difficult people, they change. When you're patient with difficult people, something good happens in their life. So we're honored to display patience. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, there were a couple of bumper stickers that Christians put on their cars that I absolutely hated. This was one of them. Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. And I'm a new Christian. Like, I've just been experiencing the joy of having my sins forgiven, and I'm passionate about Jesus. And I'm thinking, why would any Christian put that on the, like, what are they saying? Be patient, I'm a goofy Christian? And here's the other bumper sticker. I don't know if they still have these around. The other bumper sticker they had was this one. What was it now? Be patient, God isn't, did I write it down? This one. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Like, why would you put that on the back of your car? Like, I'm such a bad Christian, you need to forgive me every day. But you know what? Now that I've been serving Jesus for longer than 1 year, I really like this sign. So would you do me a favor, church? Be patient with me, because God isn't finished with me yet. There's still work to do in my life. Oh, and the other one that I really, really hated, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. I like that one too. You know why? Because not only am I not perfect, neither are you. And when I remember that, it helps me to extend grace to you. It helps me to accept you. It helps me to love you. It helps the church to be the church. After all, isn't it Jesus who taught us to pray this prayer? Would you say it out loud with me, please? And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Friends, we've all got them. We've all got warts. But it's by showing the grace of God to one another that we, it's by displaying patience that we grow and that we glorify Jesus. How do we display patience? We must never forget how the Lord treats us. You must never forget that when the sun crested the horizon today, God's mercies were brand new for you. When the sun came up today, God's mercies were all over your life. In fact, if God's mercies were not all over our lives, none of us would be here. I don't mean here, I mean here on earth. His mercies are brand new every morning. So make allowance for each other's faults. In just a little while, you're going to hold on to an emblem that represents the broken body of Jesus Christ, the bread, and another emblem that represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you're holding that today, would you allow God to speak into your heart? Is there somebody I need to reach out to? Is there somebody I need to forgive? Do I need to say, God, help me? Help me to have grace to forgive people. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive most people who have offended you. What does it say? Forgive anyone. Circle that. Forgive anyone. Listen, has anyone here ever been offended? We all have, right? So forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We're honored to display patience. How can we best display patience? Well, I think this way, by God's grace, would you let faithfulness adorn your life? By God's wonderful grace, by the riches of his grace, would you allow faithfulness to be that which shines from your life? Because here's what's true, friends. God is faithful. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And listen, it's God. It's God who invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know what you are? If you're committed to Jesus, you're a vessel of honor. You are a vessel of honor. And we need to be honored to be purchased today. We've been purchased at the highest price. We need to be honored to be purified today. And you know, friends, we need to be those who are making an effort to stay pure in an impure world. You're honored today to pursue holiness. You do it with your time. Thanks for being here. You do it with your talent. Thanks for serving. And you do it with your treasure. Thanks for giving to the kingdom. And we're honored to display patience. Oh, our God is so faithful.